"When the redcoats invaded," he started, "we raced up the island to the fort. Figured we'd hold there for months, then drive them from the city come spring when our forces would be stronger."
"Ha!"
spat the man closest to us. He rolled over to face the wall. "Did you shoot a gun?" I asked.
"Mostly dug ditches and carried rocks. The soldiers, they worked alongside us, and they drilled to get ready. When the battle finally started, the men fired the guns so fast the barrels grew hot. The cannon smoke was thick as fog. I saw the most horrid sights, country, not fit for the eyes of any person." He swallowed hard. "I wound up next to a militia boy from Connecticut. He'd just learned to shave and was a poor hand at it. Razor cuts all over his chin. Said he was worried his pa was mad at him on account of he didn't make it home for the apple harvest like he promised."
He fell silent for a moment, then continued.
"So this boy, he had two muskets, one his own, the other from a fellow who died on Long Island. When the Hessians came at us, the boy would shoot one gun whilst I reloaded the other. We continued thus, loading and shooting, loading and shooting half the day. The British moved their small cannons up the hill and took aim, but I loaded. He shot."
He paused to wipe his eyes on his sleeve.
"As I handed him his gun, a cannonball ripped his head from his body."
We sat without a word. The ashes within me swirled and filled up my throat again. Around us, men muttered low and coughed. Corzine let his tears run.
"After that, I shot the guns for myself. Took the bullet in my leg, but kept firing. An hour or so later, Colonel McGaw surrendered the fort. We laid down our weapons and walked out. The British called for our officers to walk forward, and we feared they'd be shot."
"Were they?" I asked.
"Not hardly."
He sat up a little straighter.
"Officers get special treatment on account of they're considered gentlemen. They have parole to walk around the city. They live in boarding houses and eat regular."
The man who faced the wall muttered a string of curses that echoed against the stones. He said every kind of bad word imaginable about officers, gentlemen, the war, the British, and the Congress. And he cursed himself for leaving his wife and farm in Maryland. Corzine's tears dried, leaving a thin trail of salt down his cheeks.
"You should go home now."
Before I could ask one of 100 questions, the key turned in the lock and the guard appeared. He stuck out my bucket.
"Inspection complete,"
he said, wiping a smear of butter off the side of his face. I stood, walked to the door, and looked in the bucket. Half of the food was gone. "May I stay a while longer?" I asked.
"Sing out when you need me,"
the guard said with an unsettling wink. As soon as the door was relocked, a man with powder burns on his face snatched the bucket from my hands.
"I'll take that,"
he snarled. I held tight to the handle and shouted, "Give it back!" The man grabbed my arm, his fingers like the claws of a panther.
"Enough!"
shouted a powerful voice. The cell fell silent as a tomb. The short man, dressed in black, limped over to us from his post by the window.
"Release that bucket, Private Dibden," he ordered.
The thief did as he was asked, but crossed his arms over his chest and stood his ground.
"She brought food for the black boy, Sergeant,"
he complained.
"'Tain't right for the slave to eat while we starve."
The tiny sergeant stood motionless. Somewhere water was dripping.
"No one here will starve long as I have breath."
He turned to me.
"Excuse the poor manners, miss, but we've not eaten for 3 days. Hungry men are sometimes rude."
"I understand," I said.
"Would you be willing to share what you brought?"
he asked.
"We would all be most grateful."
I looked the sergeant in the eye. He wasn't much taller than me. "There's not enough to feed everyone."
"I know that, miss, but we're all equal hungry."
"Don't fuss, country," Corzine asked. "We fought together. We we'll eat together.
Outside, a heavy cart rolled down Broadway, the driver calling to his horses. There was an argument from the cell on the other side of the wall and a thump from the one above. I handed the bucket to Corson. The nasty man dug his claws into my shoulder.
The sergeant goes first.
I waited for him to release me, fighting the urge to bite his wrist down to the bone. Once he let go, I gave the bucket to the sergeant. He looked inside and pulled out a piece of pie crust the length of my finger. He handed the bucket to Corson, who removed a long parsnip peel. The bucket made its way round the room at a snail's pace as each man studied the contents and chose a small portion of discarded potato or bread or gristle. When it was returned to me, I was confuddled. "There's still food in here," I said.
"These are fine men," the sergeant said with pride. "Each took his portion without stealing from the next. Mind if we send it round again?"
"No, sir." As the bucket went down the line again, the sergeant motioned for me to stand with him close to the wall.
"I wonder if I might ask a favor."
"What kind of favor?" I asked.
"We need to pass messages on to our captain. He'll be able to get word out of the city. Some of the other women folk who bring food to the prisoners are helping in this manner."
"I can't spy for you."
"No, no, not a spy. Simply a message carrier. You come by here, I drop a word or two in your ear, and you pass it along."
"It will put me in danger."
"It's a way for you to continue our fight for freedom."
The bucket was moving more quickly the second time around.
"I cannot, sir."
I was not fool enough to let the Patriots hurt me again. The key sounded in the lock as the bucket returned to my hands, wiped empty this time. The guard entered. Corson struggled to his feet and handed me my cloak.
"Here."
"No," I said, "you keep it."
"As soon as I fell asleep, it would be borrowed, little sister. Bring it the next time you come."
I wrapped the warm cloak around my shoulders and was struck with a sudden notion. I pulled the newspaper out from my cap and quickly removed the pages lining my shoes.
"Can you use this?"
"Hurry up," said the guard.
Corson smiled.
"Just what I need for a bed," he said. "Go on home now."
I nodded, grateful to be leaving and heavy with guilt. "You'll be here when I return."
"Don't plan on leaving anytime soon," he said.